This is Sean.
Hey, Sean, it's Casey. How are
hey,
you?
Casey, how's it going? Great.
Okay.
Actually,
sorry,
matter of fact,
just
got off the phone call. I'm sorry?
I said, sorry I missed your calls, but I spoke over you. What were you saying?
No, I just hopped off of a call, so actually a very good time for us to chat.
Oh, good.
So are we ready to resume where we started?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So in order of what piece of information do you have for me first?
So I have Beth's Hawaii driver's license.
Okay. All right. I'm ready whenever you are.
H0141-2863.
Right, and before we run these, are there any tickets or accidents that you've had in Hawaii or in a different state in the last 5 years?
No, not to my knowledge.
Good. What island was that you were living in?
Oahu.
Oahu, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you ever have been to Maui and driven the Rota Hana.
I have been to Maui. I went there for work a handful of times. It was
very cool.
Really enjoyable.
Yeah. Great place.
Yeah.
All right.
Really,
so
beautiful.
You have a VIN number for how many vehicles are we quoting?
Two.
Okay. And the first of which one will be?
The Honda Pilot.
On the pilot. Okay. Fire away.
2HKYF18533H608786.
Okay. 2003 Honda Pilot. Just curious, were you interested in insuring that car with collision and comprehensive, like a full coverage policy, or just having it as liability?
Well, if you're going to do a quote, then I would look for the comprehensive quote.
Okay. So I got that one, and what's the other vehicle?
It's a Nissan Leaf.
Okay. Ready for that one, too?
Actually, it looks like I don't have that one. I'm sorry about that. I thought it was sent over, and it's just a double string on the Honda Pilot one. So I'm not sure if it was a copy-paste thing or if something else happened. But I don't have that one yet.
Okay.
I can get it later tonight, but that's probably not going to be good enough for you.
Well, so, we're not in a terrible rush, right? So
no.
We could arrange for a time Friday morning. That's cool with you?
Yeah. We'll actually, hang on. I'll be in Hawaii Friday morning, so I'll be 6 hours different. If I can get it and text it to you, would that work?
Oh, no, right here.
What's that?
2015 Nissan Leaf.
Yeah.
And the reason that I'm able to find that is because it's been involved in just some roadside claims.
Okay, good. I thought you were going to say involved in an accident, and I would be very surprised.
No, there. I mean, there is one accident. I guess you had a 2002 Saturn at one point.
Oh, yep. That was Beth's car.
Okay. What had happened in that accident?
You know, I don't actually know. But it happened in Hawaii? Is that what it says?
I'm not sure about the location. But
can you give
I think it would be I think it would be an accident that would be considered not at fault, because it looks like whatever money her insurer paid at that time, they were able to successfully subrogate from another company, which is usually an indication of not at fault.
Okay. Can you give me a year when it happened, or a month and year?
Yeah, so July 16, 2015, about 4 years ago.
Huh, yeah, okay. That definitely would have been in Hawaii. I'm trying to think of what happened. I don't know, I'd have to ask Beth about that. But Hawaii is a no-fault state, if that makes a difference.
So is that basically like if there's an accident,
everybody
both parties...
pays their own way?
Oh, okay. Interesting. Virginia is, I guess, an at-fault state. So they take a police report and determine who's responsible for the accident, and that just that one person gets charged.
Gotcha. Okay. Regardless, I don't remember any major accident from that time frame, so I can't imagine it was anything serious.
No, probably a fender bender, like right around
yeah.
$1,300.
Yeah.
So you said you would still be interested in having comprehensive and collision on the pilot?
Yeah. We might as well look at the leaf as well.
Okay. I was just thinking that the pilot is a little bit older. It may not be worth as much, but I think it's only going to cost you maybe $200 per year to have full coverage on that vehicle as opposed to just liability. So I'll start with the vehicles first, and then we'll transition over to the home insurance. So as far as the cars are concerned, both will have comprehensive and collision at a $500 deductible. And every year that you maintain accident-free status, so you're not involved in an accident or have a claim, we credit you with a $100 deductible. $100 credit towards your deductible at the renewal. So this first year, your deductible is $500. The following year, it's $400. Year after, it's $300, and so on and so forth. Till eventually
okay.
It's zero. And then
yeah, that sounds great.
Roadside assistance is unlimited. There's no cap on the amount of reimbursement. You just save your receipt for the towing or labor service that you request, and we reimburse the full cost. And then rental car is provided for free. So you actually don't have to pay for it, but there's a $600 limit, which should get you like a sedan economy car for up to a month, or up to the $600 limit, and that's free. As far as liability is concerned, any accidents that you cause, the other injured party, we're on the hook for their medical expenses up to $100,000, and if there's more than one person in that vehicle, we pay a grand total of $300,000. Then as far as property damage, you're also covered for up to $100,000. We include medical coverage for you, too. So I know you have probably really good coverage through the military, but if you do have passengers in your car, each person riding with you can get money automatically for their injuries. So Virginia is a state where you can multiply that coverage based on the number of cars you own. So if we are covering $5,000 in medical expenses, it's actually $10,000 is the max that would be paid per person.
Oh, wow.
And just so I'm rating you accurately, the default is about 12,000 miles per year, but how do you anticipate these vehicles being driven once you move to your new address?
Much less.
Okay.
I would say probably closer to 6,000.
Okay, so are you guys using public transportation?
my wife will be using public transportation, and I will have a government vehicle provided.
Oh, so you are going to be just using the Honda Pilot sparingly?
Yeah. Yeah, I think actually since we moved out to Hawaii, the usage of it dropped somewhere between 1,000 to 3,000 miles a year.
Okay, so under 6,000 on your Honda Pilot and then the Nissan Leaf, how many miles does Elizabeth commute to work? Well, from the new address.
It'll probably be public transit. But if not, then 8 to 10 miles.
Okay. So your new home will be close to a metro stop, and she'll just probably drive her car to the metro?
Yeah, we're less than a quarter mile from a metro station.
Oh, wow. So,
yeah.
I mean, she'll walk then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Great.
Yeah.
All right, so then that actually makes a nice difference for you. That doing much less than the standard 12,000. For most people, it's 12,000 to 15,000, honestly. But we would charge you for the entire year for both cars, and all the coverage that we cover would be $1,334. So roughly about maybe $110 a month. But there is an advantage to paying in full, is that you get a 7% discount built in.
How much percent discount?
7% of the annual premium when you pay in full.
Okay.
And so all other bill plans, including monthly, would not have that discount.
Okay.
So that's the option that most of our clients choose.
Yeah, and that $1,334 is with the 7% discount?
Correct.
Okay.
Sound good so far?
Yeah.
All right, and then transitioning over to the home, I researched it pretty well this morning as soon as Jason sent me our introduction text. So it looks like it's not that much square feet for us to rebuild. I know it looks like there's like a little bit of an addition on the back of the house. And there's a below grade basement which doesn't walk out, right? It's just completely underground?
Correct.
Okay. All right, so the land obviously is the most expensive part of your sales price being so close to the city.
Yeah,
as far as rebuilding the house, the recommended amount based on a replacement cost calculation is $205,000. And if we're wrong, if we're mistaken, because we price it out by square foot, and we have a vendor tool that we use, we just plug in the square feet and the building materials, and it tells us approximately what the cost to rebuild is. If that's wrong for any reason, your policy comes with a 100% guaranteed replacement cost clause.
Okay.
That basically means that there's no limit to the coverage.
Oh. Well, what determines right wrong?
The input. So
the input is determined by?
Based on the research that I did on the home. So combination of looking at pictures on Zillow and also reaffirming that information through county records.
Okay. Okay. But you're the person that decides what the worth is, yes?
Not so much. It's a calculation. It's a tool that we use.
Okay.
And it recommends, based on the price per square foot, what we should be insuring the house for.
Gotcha. Okay.
So the above ground square feet is only 1,086. We cover the basement, too, but we don't include that in our calculation.
Okay. The only reason I'm at... Oh, go ahead.
I was saying, just for your peace of mind, most policies include some extended replacement cost coverage, which is usually like 20%. They'll go 20% beyond the estimated replacement cost. Ours is 100%. So, I mean, if we're way off and it's going to cost, for example, $300,000, your policy would still cover it. So a guaranteed replacement cost policy includes 100% of the actual rebuild.
Okay. I guess the thing that I'm confused about is when you say if we're wrong and determining what's right or wrong. But what I'm picking up from you is that right or wrong is determined by the process. This is just an initial estimate.
Right. Because if we're insuring your house for, let's say, 10 years, inflation is going to change what the value of the rebuild is going to be.
Yeah.
And so if your house is totally destroyed 3 years from now, the price to rebuild the house might differ from what is covered on your policy.
Gotcha.
You know, you're able to hire a contractor to help you with the rebuild, and they'll use a tool similar to what we use, but it would be very rare to have them have the exact number that we're insuring the house for.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Gotcha. Like a contractor, mm-hmm. if your house down to the ground, they might say, well, we think it's going to cost us $250,000 to build it.
Yeah.
They might say $300,000, but your policy is covered for 100% of whatever the rebuild is.
Gotcha. Okay.
And then what is also covered is your personal items that you'll be moving in, plus the appliances that are already there. So we are covering $122,700 for the property, clothing, furniture, electronics. There's even coverage for jewelry. And that's about 60% of what we're insuring the house for.
Okay.
So any claims are subject to a $1,000 deductible. And then next I'll tell you what is covered and what's not.
Okay.
Did you have a question?
I think you're probably going to answer it, so I'll hold my question until the end.
All right, so the major exclusions, what isn't covered, are going to be things like flood and earthquake. Obviously, like war and terrorism, not covered. Intentional damage, not covered. But those are pretty much industry-wide. Your policy has comprehensive coverage, which is another way of saying that if it's not excluded, then you do have coverage for it. So it's virtually everything, including wind, hail, hurricane, fire, smoke damage, burglary, vandalism, bursted pipes, weight of snow, trees falling on your house, lightning, these types of things. So major events, natural disasters and catastrophes are covered. But there's actually a lot more that we cover that other companies do not. And so if I can go into that, we cover full repair or replacement of underground service lines. So this would be the underground plumbing, the electric or cable line, a gas line, sewer line, propane line. Any of those malfunction, you have coverage for the excavation and repair or replacement of those pipes. And then we also cover equipment breakdown, which is very similar to a home warranty in that it will cover the wear and tear of big ticket items in your household, like your HVAC system, your hot water heater, your sump pump. Major appliances, things like that. So wear and tear is typically an exclusion, but in this case, you do have coverage for major systems and appliances in the house.
Okay.
And what I think is most important, what you're probably most likely to end up filing a claim for if you do, would be water-related damage. This is not part of the standard policy, but it's available as an add-on. I recommend it 100% of the time because 40% of claims are water-related. So So yeah. You do have coverage for that, and that would cover damage from bursted pipes or just backing up of toilets, bathtubs, sinks, things like that. Even a heavy rainstorm that floods your basement would be covered. It's not the same thing as flood. You would buy that through FEMA, which is a government program, but it would cover, you know, water seeping into your house.
So with the house being a duplex, how much is impacted by what the neighbors do or the people that we share a wall with? How much of that is covered?
So are you saying that you have shared plumbing?
I'm not sure if we do, but I know that we share a wall. So if a pipe bursts on their side of the structure, but it causes flooding on my side, is that covered? Or it causes water damage, I should say, not flooding.
You know what? If it's not something that they're directly responsible for, like if there was negligence on their part and they caused damage in their own home that resulted in damage to your home, that would be a liability claim that their policy, if they have insurance, would cover it. But if it's something independent of that, or it's just damage that's affecting their house and your house, then what the most likely resolution would be is that you would submit a claim on your home insurance policy and they would theirs, and there would be kind of cooperation between the two insurers to resolve the damage. But those are evaluated on a case-by-case basis.
Gotcha.
There have been times where, you know, typical example would be like a tree from another neighbor's yard falls on the house in the adjacent yard. And sometimes it's easy to find who's at fault, right? Like if the tree was rotting and the owner knew it was and failed to do anything about it, that would be liability. But, and if it just fell because of a heavy windstorm, you know, that's not blame that necessarily the neighbor is going to be responsible for, but the policy would cover the damage to the house.
Yeah.
So, does that answer your question?
Yep.
All right. So this would be $566 for the year for the home insurance. I'm assuming that you're going to have that escrowed when you go to settlement.
Those are still terms that I'm not 100% comfortable or familiar with, so I can't answer that in the way that you would probably like me to answer it.
All right, fair enough. So that just means that rather than you pay us directly, the title company adds that as part of your closing costs, and then your lender actually pays your insurance bill each year with money that they've built in for like property tax, principal and interest, and insurance. So you're making one monthly payment instead of paying, you know, three different parties.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. Now, the only question that I have about the house, maybe you know the answer, maybe you don't, but it's built in 1947, so at some time that HVAC system in that roof must have been updated. Do you know the most recent time when those repairs took place?
According to all the records that they've been able to locate, the roof was replaced 8 years ago, 2011, and the HVAC system was replaced in 2015.
Oh, that's right. I do remember Jason replying to that text earlier.
Yeah. Sorry, right, I forgot that you were included on that one.
That's all right. I forgot I was too, apparently. That both of those systems should have a good amount of life left in them then. They're you know, it seems like. All right, my friend. So that's I mean, that's pretty much all the questions that I have. What questions do you have for Benny if I haven't answered any of them?
62, does that include the water damage add-on?
The 566, it does. Yeah.
I see.
So that's the 100% guaranteed replacement cost policy with comprehensive perils, which is basically coverage for everything minus the exclusions. And then the equipment breakdown, aka home warranty, built in with the underground plumbing included, and the water backup coverage. And I think one thing I didn't mention is liability. So we talked about that earlier with the duplex.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you were liable for damage sustained by someone else. Say you had a dog and the dog bit the neighbor, or someone got hurt on your yard. So you have $500,000 available for that. So we would defend you with our attorneys, and then the $500,000 is available for any settlements.
Wow. Okay. And the attorney's fees are included in the regular cost of the insurance?
Yes. So you don't have to pay for that. And it doesn't come out of the $500,000. $500,000 is just for any settlements that we would have to pay. But yeah, that's a huge one, because anybody sues you for anything these days, the attorney fees are a great way to eat up cash. But it's covered under your policy. And then a very similar coverage would be medical payments. So if you're having a barbecue and you're inviting friends over for a party, if somebody gets hurt, they can get money immediately, up to $5,000 per person for minor injuries, right? Or like cuts and scrapes, or broken bones, something like that. And that's just a way of mitigating smaller accidents so that they don't become larger liability claims.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah. But where we would go from here, if everything sounds good to you, I can get in touch with your lender, prepare the closing documents for the home insurance. And then the only thing that you would be responsible for would just be making payment on the car insurance. We would have everything start effective on July the 25th.
Before we go that far, I still have a couple more questions related to property and what's covered and not covered under the homeowner's insurance.
Sure.
And also the deductible. Do you stick at just $1,000 deductible for those type of claims, or is it possible to lower that, and what does that do to the price? And subsequently, what type of damages are covered for electronics such as computers, and what is your coverage points for firearms?
Excellent questions. I think I'll answer those in reverse. So,
okay.
Firearms. You have coverage for the theft, misplacement, or loss of jewelry, furs, or guns, up to $10,000.
Okay.
Do you have anything that you feel is of a particularly high value? It wouldn't be a terrible idea to present a bill of sale or an appraisal. That way we could schedule it to your policy, so that it has a $0 deductible instead of being subject to the policy deductible of $1,000 or $500, whatever you end up choosing. That's how we would go about that, just having you submit an appraisal or a bill of sale. But if $10,000 will cover those things, then, you have coverage for any jewelry or firearms that are either lost, stolen, or misplaced.
Okay, great.
Then electronics, there is not a limit. So it's just, we consider that just regular personal property. You have up to the policy limit, which is $122,000. But we do have a feature that's specifically just for computers, and it's only a $100 deductible, and that would cover electronics, smart devices, smartphones, and things of that nature.
So a window breaks in a rainstorm, rain comes in, gets on the computer and fries it. That's a $100 deductible to replace.
Correct.
Okay. And the same is true if I spill a glass of water on the computer, or is that not covered because it's personally involved?
Let me verify if it's broader coverage than what's covered by the policy. Because the policy is mostly just natural disasters, catastrophes.
Okay. Well, that actually segues well into the next thing, which would be that before I make that decision, I want to actually get the stuff in writing and look around and do some comparison with specifically USAA. Jason has said a lot about how much better you all are than USAA, but I like to see things in writing. And I still need to talk with Beth before making a decision like that. So if it's possible for you to email me the things that we've discussed, that would be super helpful. And I'll be able to get back to you. I mean, I know tomorrow's a holiday, but I'll have something for you Friday morning.
Yeah, of course. I think, and I've seen a couple USA policies lately, I think their home insurance has completely changed. Because standard home insurance is, in industry terms, what's considered the HO3 policy. It's like the most broad type of policy. I've seen a couple lately that are filed under form HO9, and they literally just cover the building and, like, nothing else. So I don't know if that's a new product that they've rolled out, but I've seen, like, three in the last week, and it's a little concerning for me because I don't fully understand it.
Well, if it makes you feel better, that's not what I'm looking at, because that sounds crazy to me.
Right. So you already have a copy of a quote, I presume, then?
Yeah. I started with them because I have everything through them right now. But again, Jason recommended you very strongly, so.
Okay. Does it say HO9 anywhere on that quote?
Not from what I remember.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. I'm happy to show you some of them that I've seen lately, and they're just very bare bones, just coverage for the building, no property, no coverage for water damage.
Yeah, the water damage is one of the really interesting points that I want to see how the direct comparison goes across. I know property is covered under the quote that I received. And to be honest, it sounds like your offer, your program, your product is better across the board. I just need to actually see it in writing to really conceptualize it.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll do two things. I'll send you the proposals, and I'll send you a policy jacket, which is basically a sample policy that you can see exactly like what the terms and conditions are.
Okay.
To be helpful to, I feel like you asked a few other questions that I didn't address though. Can you refresh my memory what those were?
So they were specifically, the only one that didn't get addressed was how much or what type of incidents are covered for electronics. And the reduction of the deductible to 500 and what that would do to the premium.
Ah, okay. Yeah, we can find that out very, very quickly. So the change in deductible, and you can customize the deductible per peril. Like if you wanted to have a higher hail deductible than the rest of your perils for like wind and hurricane, you can do that, but it just makes it a little bit complicated. If you want to have everything at 500, you're looking at 638 per year instead of 566. So roughly a difference of about $6 a month.
Okay. And let's just say that it's 250 for the deductible. If you do that, what would that
look like? What would that look like?
For some reason, something sounds really strange.
We were just getting an incoming call. 250, I probably wouldn't recommend.
I can't hear what you're saying, but I hear me a lot.
That's strange. How about now?
Here, let me hang up, and if you don't mind, call me back.
Okay.